Now touch three people. Tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. Amen. Like that a little better. If I get too loud, let me know. Amen. If you have your word with you, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. The prophet Jeremiah, might have turned me down a little bit. Y'all guys are doing a great job. Amen. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. 18, 1 through 6. If you're there this morning, just give me a big, big amen. Are you with me today? How many's ready for the word? Amen. Love, praise, and worship. But how many know this is the most important part of the service? Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and I found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Notice that word or that phrase. He crushed the lump of clay again and he started over. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. This morning, I want to talk to you on this thought. Thumping, thumping for thuds. Thumping for thuds. Amen. If you're a thudder this morning, there's hope for you. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But I just want to be real with you for a moment. I'm just ready to let down your church mask and get real for a moment. Are you with me? Amen. How many of you have ever felt that you've reached a place in your life where you cannot go on? That you cannot make it one more day. Got some honest people here. Well, I like that. That you cannot make it one more step. How many's ever been in that place in your life? Can you just be honest? I believe it was 2009. The economy took a turn for the worse, if you remember the crash of the market. And there's a guy named Johnny Jackson. And Johnny Jackson lost his job in the crash. He had a wife, and Mr. Jackson had four children at home. He searched desperately for jobs for 3 months, only to find no job. Finally, he had an idea. He said, I'm going to go down to the local zoo. And I'm going to ask if they have a job. I'm desperate. So he went down to the zoo. And he went up to the management of the zoo. And he said, I need a job. I need to support my family. I'm willing to sweep. I'm willing to clean. I'm willing to take out the trash. And they looked at him and they said, no, Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry. We do not have a job. Except our gorilla just died. Will you be willing to put on a gorilla outfit and pretend and stay in the cow until we can get another gorilla shipped in? I mean, no, Mr. Jackson was desperate. He said, I will do anything. I'll take the job no matter what it pays. Months went by. He was still doing it every day. But he was able to support his family. Actually, he began to enjoy his job. And he began to really act like a gorilla. He began to go up to the fence and scare all the children and make noises. And one day, he climbed a tree, really putting on the act. And he's making all the noises that gorillas make. But he falls out of this tree next door into the lion's pit. Yeah. The lion comes slowly approaching him. And he began to scream, "Get me out of here. I'm going to die. Get me out of here." Now, you have to understand, all the bystanders are shocked, not only because the gravity of the situation, but there was a talking gorilla. And they were shocked. And as the lion slowly made his way over to Mr. Jackson, which was in the gorilla outfit, the lion crouched over him. And the lion begins to open his mouth. And the lion says, "Shut up, or we're both going to lose our jobs." How many know sometimes things are not always as they appear? Sometimes we're going through hell on earth, but yet we want to put our gorilla suit on. I'm going to go back to this story in a moment. But how many know in the art of pottery, the potter would take a vessel that he's been working on. He would place it in the oven. And then he would take it out of the oven once it reaches a certain temperature. And the potter tests the solidity of the vessel by thumping it. He thumps it. And if the vessel makes a singing sound, it tells the potter that it's ready for use. But if the vessel produces a thud, it lets the potter know there's more work to be done. And how many know when there's too much clay? I'll get on this later because this is a preach. The potter always asks a little more water. And how many know we need the rain of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to soften our clay vessels that we may be pliable in the hands of the Master. And we understand that the authenticity of our relationship with the Lord Jesus is always checked by an occasional thump. How many has ever experienced a thump? Come on. Do the pressures of life make you sing? Or do they make you thud? A thud sound indicates a hollowness on the inside. You see, sometimes it takes falling out of a tree to find out who we really are. Come on. Sometimes it takes taking off the gorilla suit of life and being honest and transparent before God. Nothing is like a good old thump. Nothing is like a good old bump, amen, to show us what's on the inside. It's sort of like this water. This water's inside my body here, and it looks great. No problem at all until maybe it gets bumped. And all of a sudden, the anger comes out. All of a sudden, the insecurities come out. I'm talking to somebody. All of a sudden, the unforgiveness comes out. All of a sudden, the jealousy comes out. Come on. And why? It's because we put a gorilla outfit on, like Mr. Jackson. And we were pretending to be somebody at the moment that we were not. Oh, am I talking to any honest people here today? And we're all guilty of wearing gorilla suits, lion suits, right? We want to pretend we're brave, but I'm going to tell you, when I get behind this pulpit, you might not know the kind of week I had. And I have to call upon God. And I have to say, God, anoint this. Because right now I'm empty. I'm taking my gorilla suit off. And here I am. God, it's been a bad week. And I'm in need of you. So the suit comes off. And the anointing comes down. Come on. God wants us just to be honest. And take the gorilla suits off. Sometimes we pretend to be brave. Sometimes we may be shaking in the boots. Sometimes we tend to be religious and holy. And no, I never get discouraged. I mean, no. Sometimes we just need to take off the gorilla suit and bare our souls. Come on, be honest before God. How many know there's something so liberating when we take off that suit and start pretending that everything's okay? Amen? It's so liberating. How many know it can get our heart in a gorilla suit? It can get so tiring in a gorilla suit. It can get so old. And we get bumped or we fall out of a tree. And we realize, I need to go back to the Father's house. And I need some more work in my life. Church, Bridge of Hope, we never get too old to make a visit to the Father's house. Can I hear amen this morning? But here's the issue. In Romans 13, Paul commands the church to put on, everybody say to put on, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know, Paul is telling the church, I want you to put on the Jesus suit. Not the gorilla suit. I want you to put on the Jesus suit. But here's the problem with an average Christian today. We have too many other suits in our closet. Ooh, that'll preach. When the Lord's saying, oh, you just need one suit. But you know what we do? We're in our closet. We got a work suit. And we go to work sometime. And we forgot we're ambassadors and a witness for his kingdom. And we're pretending. Sometimes we put the school suit on, young people, when we go to school. We're shouting on Sunday and yielding to peer pressure on Monday. Right? Come on. The issue is we have so many suits in our closet. Right? But God, we have a home suit at home. We have a pleasure suit. But how many know God is only commanding the church, you have one suit. And you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that suit, every day of your life. No matter if you're at work, if you're home, if you're in school, come on, church, no matter where you're at, there is no other suit but the Jesus suit. Turn to your neighbor now and say, do you have the Jesus suit? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have the Jesus suit, I mean, no, you need to have a garage sale today. You need to go home and sell everything in your closet. Come on, and just make sure you can go buy a Jesus suit. Come on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what happens is we get bumped. we get thumped. Thing is, fall out of the trees. Come on. And how many know? Not everything is what it appears to be. But let the pressure come and the fall come. And how many know the real us always comes out? Mr. Jackson said, save me. I've been pretending. Save me. Amen. That's what we need to do. Quickly before we go to Jeremiah. Besides Jeremiah at the potter's house, there were four other great men of God who felt the thump and the bump. And but this may shock you, but these men of God that we elevate so highly in the Word, there were days they had to take off the gorilla suit. One day Moses was feeling the bump and the thump of ministry. He was at wit's end. The children of God, the church people, were getting on his nerves. Go read Numbers 11. I said the church people is getting on his nerves. And he took his gorilla suit off and said, kill me, God. That's what he said. Take me out now. I can't take anymore. Elijah felt bump in the thump when the demon of Jezebel was chasing him. You know what he said? He crawled under a juniper tree and said the same thing. Let me die, God. Church, they were real men. Don't judge them. They were only taking off their gorilla suit. They were being honest. David was feeling the bump and the thump of his own mistakes after Bathsheba. And he cries out in Psalms. He says, I'm at my wit's end. How many has ever felt like you've been at your wit's end? Am I talking to somebody today? Are you willing to take your gorilla suit off and say, Pastor, that's me. I felt this week that I was at my wit's end. But I've got good news for you. The potter's about to do a new work on you today. Come on, church. And let's not forget, oh yes, Jesus. Jesus took his gorilla suit off. I'm referring to his flesh, because in his spirit, he was perfect. But he took his gorilla suit off when he sweat up blood in the garden of Gethsemane. He was feeling the thump. He was feeling the bump of God's will in his life. And he did not want to have it to God's will. And he said, Daddy, if it's possible, do we have to do this cross thing? And you know, when he said, not your will, but my will, he took his suit off and he was being real. He was being raw. And he was saying, God, I need you to show up. I mean, he's got to show up. We need to make a visit for a moment. I mean, it's been experienced. I want to make sure I'm preaching and teaching to somebody. I mean, it's experienced a thump this week, raise your hand. My goodness. My goodness. Oh, I'll just stop there. I mean, it's felt a bump lately. Come on. Don't raise your hand just because I'm asking. Be for real. I want to challenge you. Take that suit off today. I mean, no one thump usually never causes a crisis. But five or six thumps? You got thumped 6 months ago? I mean, no, we get thumped by our own mistakes. Self-inflicted. We get thumped by others. Two, we get thumped by the devil. Right? We get thumped. But too many thumps, watch this, without getting down to the potter's house, will cause a crisis in your life. That's why we need the Father's house every week, every service. Because can somebody be honest, it's tough out there. Oh, somebody give me amen. It gets hard out there, right? It gets hard in here sometimes. And the thumps and the bumps add up. And if not careful, it can cause a crisis. This is the time today. I believe some of you will make a visit to the potter's house. And I believe you're going to get the thud out. And God's going to reshape you and remake you. Come on, church. And the vessel that he can use. Amen. And it's going to take being transparent and saying, God, I need another touch. Okay? There are four ways to get the thud out. Wants to get the thud out of your life. Remember, a thud is result of nothing being inside. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Number one, in order to get the thud out, this is what God walked the prophet Jeremiah through. Number one, we need a new position. Everybody say a new position. In verse 2, the word of the Lord came into the prophet Jeremiah and said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And when you do, I'm going to speak my words to you. Now, you must understand something. The prophet Jeremiah was so discouraged. He was feeling hopeless. He was surrounded by heathens. In fact, the Bible says all of Israel had backslidden. Nobody was listening to the prophetic warnings that the prophet was giving. So he was feeling sorry for himself. The Bible says he stood out at the gate of the city and he was weeping for anybody to hear the word of the Lord. He was weeping. That's why the Bible calls Jeremiah the weeping prophet. No one was listening. Jeremiah was facing what some people call ministry burnout. He was facing a thump in his calling. And make no mistake, God, every one of us are called. Right? But I want you to notice God's remedy first. It starts with the new position. Everybody say new position. Jeremiah, arise. Move out of your own surroundings of negativity. Come on. That's a word for somebody today. Get away from anything and everything that is distracting you. Get down to the potter's house. And I'm going to cause you to hear my word. Here's a word for the church for 2019. We must position ourselves for prosperity. We must position ourselves, a new position. No, you can't keep doing the same old things and expect a new result. That's called a rut. You have to break out? Turn to somebody right now and say, break out. It may require new relationships. Are you hearing me, young people and young adults? It may cause you to have to get relationships, new boundaries, develop new habits, right? A new commitment. But you will have to reposition yourself in order to hear the word of the Lord. Because right now, everything that's surrounding your life is drowning out the word. Right? What they did to me is drowning out the word for some of you right now. That mistake I made that I just can't forgive myself. It's drowning out the word for some of you right now. Come on. You can't let that not cause you to hear the words of the potter. So God gives Jeremiah a new position. He said, get down to the potter's house. Everybody say, church. Love coming to the potter's house. This is the place where God causes you and me to hear his word. And what does the word do? We know that the Word will set us free. This is the place. This is the reason why we shall all come faithfully every Sunday to the Potter's house. Because how many know we can get marred? The Bible said the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. It was a crack in it. There was something that did not develop correctly. It was broken. And the clay was marred. And how many know we get marred during the week? And we need to come down to the potter's house. Make a trip to the potter's house. I want you to know something here. God never gave Jeremiah the directions to the potter's house. You know why? He already knew where it was. He made plenty of visits there. Come on. And so shall we. You know the way home. You know the way to the church. You really know where you can hear the word of God. The word of God is not compromised. You really know. And there's something that draws us to the potter's house so we can hear the word of God. And I mean, it always starts with the new position. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and we hear the word in the potter's house. Here's another word I want to give you. Stick this in your back pocket. This will be ground in debt for some of you this coming year. If we fail, I mean, no, look around. The church is growing. Look around. The church is growing. But if we fail to grow with the church, we will always eventually grow out of the church. Amen. Don't forsake the weekly trip to the potter's house. Because God's going to cause you to see something today. He's going to give you a new position. Right now, God wants to take some of you away from what you're facing. Even things you brought into this building. All your troubles, all your worries, all of your concerns. Come on, church, we have them. That God is beckoning you. He wants to draw you away and reposition you so you can see what he is really up to in your life. And here's what God is up to. Not only will he give us a new position to get the thud out. Number two, he gives us a new perspective. I mean, oh, it's amazing how we can see with more clarity once we get away from the pressures, right? I mean, can admit the pressures of life will blind us, right? Tell you, but right now, you are a work in progress. Tell them. Look what Jeremiah, I love the Bible. Jeremiah, the Bible says it, behold, Jeremiah, look, behold, see the potter at the wheel, see the clay in his hands. See, Jeremiah, what I can do for you. Now watch this. I'm sure at first, Jeremiah was not aware that he was looking at himself on the wheel. Watch this. He was probably thinking there was another piece of clay. Oh, come on, church. The same way when we hear the preacher preach on Sunday, we're always thinking, man, they sure need to hear that one. Let them have it, Pastor Roy. I know who needed that word. Let's be honest. At first, Jeremiah was not even aware that he was the clay that was on the wheel that Jesus was working on. I mean, oh, sometimes, guys, we can get blinded. And we have our minds on other people. And we'll say, sick them, Pastor, let them have it. Not realizing, watch this, that the Word of God is a mirror. Everybody say, a mirror. But if we keep looking at the wheel, I promise you, you'll begin to see the word today that I'm giving you as a mirror for you. I'm going to give you a revelation right now. When you look truly into a mirror and focus, you always see more of yourself than even what's in the background. Come on, church. The mirror is the word of God for all of us, not your neighbor beside you, but for you, but for me. Behold, Jeremiah. This is you on the wheel. I want to give you a new perspective. I gave you a new position, number one. Now for number two, to give you a new perspective of what I'm doing in your life. How many wants to thud out? How many wants to sing next time you go through hell? How many wants to sing the song of the Lord? Come on, when every demon is after you. How many still wants to sing when your bank account gets low? Oh, come on, church. How many wants to sing when that person beside you in church offended you and you can't get over it? Oh, somebody help me. All those will produce thuds. But if you want to sing, if you want a new perspective, watch what God is doing. I wish I had time to do the illustration and have clay and the wheel and all that. We saw that years ago in Eureka Springs. It's amazing, the potter and the clay. But turn to your neighbor and say, God is not through with you. He's giving you a new perspective. Do you know what Jesus wants you to see? When you look at the wheel, that his hands is still on your life. Woo, that should make some of you happy. That he is still shaping you, molding you. He's saying, I'm in control, you're not. And I'm going to make all wrong things right. How many know the wheel is the circumstances of life? How many's ever felt like you've been spinning out of control? Right? The oven is where life gets really hot. Right? But the same heat, somebody help me. The same heat that you think's going to kill you is only making you. The same heat that you're experiencing now is only making you a stronger vessel down the road. Because I mean, no, the potter knows what he's doing. Come on. But you have to allow him to wrap his hands around you and do the work. Everybody say, new position, new perspective. Without right perspective, we will always become disoriented and dizzy. Have you ever been on a wheel, a merry-go-round, and then you try to get off? And without right perspective, you're going like this. Right? Some of you walked into the church this morning like this. But before you leave today, God can cause you. I said the Spirit of the Lord can cause you. He can straighten you. Come on. And he can cause you to see clearly that he is still working and molding and shaping the clay which you and I are in life. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, one of my faves, one of my favorite scriptures ever. I love it. The Apostle Paul said these words. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody say vessels. Another translation say, we are nothing but clay. But in this clay, we still have the Spirit of God. And I love the next verse. Paul said, I may be troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. I mean, oh, what I'm talking about. I may be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Come on. I may be persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I may be cast down, but I'll never be destroyed. Come on. That's what a new perspective would give to you. Because if you don't have that, you're only able to quote half of what I just quoted. You will only be quoting the reality side, but not the truth side. Reality says, I'm distressed. But the truth says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. Number three, not only do we need a new position, a new perspective, we want to get the third out. Number three, we need a new person. You can leave here today new. I want you to notice something. The vessel was marred even in the potter's hand. Sometimes we let Satan condemn us. And we listen to the lies of the enemy that there's no hope for me. But I want to encourage you this morning. Christians, yes, Christians, can still be marred, even in the hands of the potter. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He only wants to make you new today. I mean, no, Christians hurt. We feel pain. I mean, no, we get broken. Can you take your gorilla suit off for a moment and say, yeah, I've been there. Don't put on that religious face. Say, I'm hurting. I'm wounded. I'm broken. I need an extreme makeover. Right? We get marred by our own mistakes, by others sometimes, by the sharp words of others. Or maybe sin in our life. Yes, King James, in the King James version of the potter story, it says, and the potter made the vessel again. Everybody say again. I love that. You know why? Same clay, but a different vessel. I said the same clay, but the different vessel. The potter will actually crush the clay in his hand when he knows it did not come out right. And he will start over again. But are you glad he never throws the clay away? Listen, God will never crush us beyond what we can handle. He will never throw you away. He's only taking the same clay. The clay doesn't change, but the mixture does. It may need more spirit. It may need more word. It may need more of this, more love, and more of this sprinkled in. But it's the same clay. He loves you. And he said he made it again. A new vessel. A new person. Come on, church. You can live today not the way you came. He can make your life new today, whatever you're facing. He can change you. Same clay, because we have this treasure in clay vessels, but a different person. So we need to remove ourselves and find a new position. We need a new outlook or a new perspective. And we need to allow the potter to make us a new person. And here's the word for us for this coming year. There's going to be times you feel like the wheel is going so fast you want to jump off of it. Come on. But I'm challenging you. When the hands of God wraps around you and you feel the pressure, just surrender to it. Take off that suit and say, here am I. I belong to you. Shape me. Mold me. Make me. How many old ones remember that song we used to sing in church? Make me new. Tell you. Go ahead. Sing it. And we receive that this morning. And we receive that. Today, God wants to give some of you a new position, a new perspective. He wants to make you a new person. And last but not least, a new potter. And here's what I mean by that statement. We know Jesus is only the real potter. But make no mistake, something and someone will always shape our life. Whose hands are you yielding to? There is another potter. It's just not the master potter. He's an imitator. And his name is Satan. And he wants to shape your life and mold your life and dictate to you what you should believe. Come on. Come on. Yes, exactly right. The question is, whose hands are we going to yield? Some one master, Jesus said, you can't serve both. Some of you do need a new potter today. You need to get out of one's hands into the other. The hands of relationship, the hands of culture, the hands of pleasures of life, the hands of the love of money, the hands of our own selfish agenda, the hands of gossip or things that are trying to shape your mind and your heart. Make no mistake, we will all be shaped and molded. The million-dollar question is simply this. Who's doing the shaping? And who's doing the molding? Are we believing everything we read in the news on Facebook or what people think, the culture of the day and what they call evil good and good evil? What are you going to believe? That is important. Don't give me it don't matter what we believe. Oh, yes, it does matter what we believe, because what we believe shapes us. It molds us. The ideologies of man will destroy us. And the spirit of this age is determined to shape the church into what they want us to be. Come on. But there's some things we can't get into. But we always need to give in to the hands of the master. And we need a new potter today. Amen. I'm almost done. Worship team can come. God is not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He is only looking, don't miss this, for willing vessels. How many is willing today to let the potter shape your life? Right? Wait till they get positioned. The quality of the vessel always depends on the pliability of the clay. How pliable are you? Are you willing for God to stretch you, to shape you, to mold you? You know, I was thinking last night, and these are not behind me or in my notes, but I was thinking last night that there are two purposes for vessels, right? One purpose is when a potter makes the vessel, do not miss this, he puts it in the public market wherever he goes to sell his pottery, and he displays it in the public market. Why? Do not miss this. He's displaying the new vessel in hopes that its beauty will catch the eye. of somebody that's interested in the product. Some people know how to shine in church. But do we know how to shine out there? Because when the potter makes the vessel, he isn't making it just to sit on the shelf and not be used. Oh, somebody help me. The first purpose of the vessel, help, is to take it out to the marketplace. Oh, somebody help me teach. And display it for all to see. Because there's always somebody that's shopping for a new vessel. Come on. There's somebody that's interested in the product. And that's where we should be shining. Our beauty of our walk with God shall make the bystander stop and go, whoa, I want that. So not only does the vessel is put on display, it's also not only to draw attention to, it is also to draw the contents out of. Brother Keith, that needs to be put into use, right? Vessels are made to pour into others as that vessel gets poured into. Oh, somebody help me. It's made because it's the contents inside. And how many know, if you have a treasure and this earthen vessel and it gets cracked sometime, it gets marred, and we need to get down to the potter's house, because there is something on the inside of every Christian. It's called the Holy Ghost, and we cannot afford to lose too much of it. Come on, church. We cannot afford for it to leak out. So that may be the reason why we need to change company. The people we hang out with, a new position. We need a new perspective. And we need to come to the house of God every week, because it's rough out there. And we get broken. And we need be made a new person. And most of all, we don't need to leave today until we know who we belong to and whose hands are wrapping around us. Amen. This is scripture. We're fixing to pray. Normally, I always revert back to King James, but when I study the scripture as we close, and I found myself actually finding more revelation in it, in the New Living Translation. And it's found in 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 through 21. And here's what it says. In a wealthy home, some utensils, King James says vessels, are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils or vessels are used for only special occasions, and the cheap ones, watch this, are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special vessel for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. I mean, wants the master to use your life. Now watch. I did not get the revelation in this until I looked more into the New Living Translation. I'm going to ask you a question today. Do you think God wants to use our lives only on special occasions? or for everyday use. But yet it says the cheap ones is for everyday use, and the gold is for special occasions. But yet I know my God wants us to shine for Him every day. You know what I believe God is saying in this? That it is the contents on the inside that matters. Come on. See, you can be golden on the outside and empty on the inside. Or you can show up on special occasions. You can use your gift only when you feel like it. Only if it's a convenient time for you to come to church. Or somebody help me preach. But how many know? What man thinks is cheap on the outside may be valuable on the inside. And what man thinks is valuable on the outside may be dead and empty on the inside. It all depends on the contents inside the vessel. I got news for you. You may think you're wood and clay. We are all clay. But God wants to use our lives every day for His use. Not just for special occasions. We put on the dog when company comes over. We set out the finest china, right? But can we be honest? That's not our real life. Oh, somebody help me. Our real life are paper plates. That God can use a paper plate. God can use the cheapest ones. As long as the Spirit of God is in them. I want us to stand for a moment. Lift up your hands. We got a dinner to go to. We're not going to prolong this. But I want you to lift up your hands.